The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
And there's sports to talk about, including your Texans, even though they didn't do anything last night. Let's do this. It's a Friday Friday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend Friday Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. Of course, you know the number for that. And it's a Friday Friday, and it is a short one for us because we got the draft at 5 o'clock. So don't blink or you'll miss it. Captain Hoffman.
Oh, sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you, brother?
A little bit of everything, man. I got in and was playing a little cash last night on Jerry Bowe's thing and had the worst run of luck I've ever had in my life, to the point where I was down like 500, managed to rally back at the end of the night. I'm not even going to tell you the bad beats. It was just hilarious. But I love it when somebody gets ridiculously lucky on you and then starts talking trash. So
that's the way it works.
Fun. But you know what? I made it all back and then some on one race at Oaklawn today. So it's been a little bit of gambling going on.
Yeah.
But that and the draft and Laremy Tunsil finally getting done.
Are we just calling it that? Just getting it done?
Well, I mean,
is that the way you look at it?
Yeah, kind of. I'm trying to figure out.
I look at it as, you know, obviously it was important for the Texans to get him locked in. Yet somehow they did it, and they're still morons. I mean, It's the most Texans thing ever. I knew he was going to be the highest paid tackle in the league once he got the money. The highest paid guy now was yesterday was making like a little over $16 million per year. So I figured, I bet Laremy Tunsil gets 18, maybe even 19 if the Texans go crazy. Now $22 million per year, $6 million per year more than the next highest paid offensive lineman in the league. $6 million more. And the Texans
thought it was 18 and a half was what Lane Johnson's getting.
I'd have to look it up. What I was looking at today, it looked like, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. But
I mean, it's still significantly more, but
it's way more. And now you're like, oh, well, we didn't have money to pay DeAndre Hopkins to keep him around. Well, okay. I don't understand it. And I mean, now suddenly, I don't know. I'm not excited about Laremy Tunsil at that number. I don't feel good about it at all. And honestly, the Dolphins, I know there's a lot of people who are questioning what the Dolphins did last night. I'm not one of them. I thought the Dolphins did a pretty good job because they get out of there without having to move up. They get the guy that they want. At number five, they get to and there was concern that somebody would jump up there and snag him. No worries. And then they get Austin Jackson, who I think is maybe a little underrated. He's raw, certainly, but he's got some really nice physical tools. And then Noah Igbinoghi, I'll never get it right, the corner from Auburn.
Just call him Noah.
Who I didn't see a lot of buzz about going into yesterday, but that's a guy who, you know, if you watch college football, you pretty much every week Auburn's on television That's a playmaker, man. And I like what they did replacing Laremy Tunsil with Austin Jackson. And they've got him now for the next 5 years at basically a pauper's rate. A pauper, I mean a first-rounder's rate, but a reasonable salary. You know, I talk about how the Texans are going to operate once they give Deshaun his money because they're going to be up against it. I didn't even think about the idea that they would pay Laremy Tunsil that much. It didn't even cross into my head.
Well, I'm not going to criticize it until I see the year-by-year breakdown because that's where your cap impact is. And, yeah, it's a big number. I thought it was going to be around
the guaranteed 20. Number is that should tell you how hard it's going to be to get rid of him. And that's why I think they did a shorter deal.
Well, again, I until I see the actual breakdown, I can't sit here and tell you, oh, this is terrible because they'll be paying this for the next 3 years. I think the signing bonus kind of gets him there this year, and then because he was going to make 10.5, or at least partial amount of it. And then I need to see how the 3 years after it actually look, because, you know, if they're able to eject after two, which why would you? I mean, the thing is, you're signing a 26-year-old guy. You know, you want him to, you want him to stick around, obviously. But I have to. It's hard for me to sit here and say it's a terrible deal until it sounds like a lot of money, and it sounds like an overpay. But I thought he was going to get 20. So I mean, is $2 million more that much considering they never spend to the damn cap? But I need to see it before I'll sit here and say it's a terrible deal. I mean, I think it's and then I think it's another one where 2-3 years from now, it might look like market value as these other guys come up and make more, because he's certainly set a new standard for offensive tackles.
Yeah.
So,
David Bakhtiari, these guys who are up soon. Yeah, you're right. Lane Johnson did get signed, and he's 18 mil per. It was 16. Okay. It was 16.5 before last season, and that was Trent Brown, which was obviously a bad call too. Well, but I was right that the next highest paid left tackle in the league is 16.5, and because Lane Johnson's a right tackle. So Anthony Costanzo and Taylor Lewan both make 16. I mean, to me, it's just hard to it's hard to justify that, because I just don't see him as like I said, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's anywhere near the best guy in the league. Like, I don't think he's Taylor Lewan. I don't think he's David Bakhtiari. I don't think he's even in that discussion, really. And now he not only is he paid more than those guys, I mean, he's paid substantially more, to the point where, I mean, you've really reset the entire market for offensive linemen with this contract.
Well, I'm sure there's some GMs out there that aren't happy with Bill O'Brien, but I think it feels like an overpay for the guy, but you know, and until I can actually break that down, because now
I mean it's 20% more than the second guy, Fred. It doesn't feel like, I mean, it is an overpay. It's an overpay. Like, these things,
I'm not saying it's not. I
get that everybody,
but
when it's your turn, you get more, and that's typically the way it works. Like Trent Brown making, 16.5 when it was his turn was painful, but it was his turn. And okay, I guess that makes sense. But to go from and even Lane Johnson getting 18 when it's his turn, from 16.5 to 18, it's a jump, but it's not a 20% jump, which is what Laremy Tunsil is getting here. That's a jump over the next highest paid guy, not a jump in his percentage. I'm talking about 20% higher than the next highest guy. That's crazy.
Yeah, but again, until I can actually tell you what it's going to cost in 2022, 2023, what the dead cap money is, should something happen, that kind of stuff.
Here's why that doesn't matter, Fred, because if he's not here all 3 years, the Texans blew the trade anyway.
Oh, that's true.
So there's really no, you don't really have to see, because They're overpaying for a guy, and they couldn't even get him locked in for like a 5-year deal at this ridiculous rate. It's three. So he might have him over a barrel again, because if he's not here after 3 years, you still feel like, man, we give up two firsts and a second. It still feels like you got ripped off.
Actually, it's a 3-year extension, so it's 4 years.
Okay. Well,
he was under contract for this season, and then he was going to be a free agent.
Okay.
So it's a 4-year deal, technically. It's just a 3-year extension. So you've got him wrapped up for 4 years. But I'm not saying they didn't overpay, but I would be willing to bet before this contract's up, somebody's going to get more than him.
Yeah, and guess what? They'll probably be a lot better player than him. David Bakhtiari will probably get more than him. The truth is, he's just a lot better player. That's the other thing that I think people aren't taking into account is that Laremy Tunsil's a good player. He's not proven to be what everybody thinks he can eventually be. He's not that.
But he is that important to your team.
Is he more important to your team than DeAndre Hopkins was?
I bet
Deshaun Watson would say no. I don't think so.
Probably no, but he's the thing is, I mean, all you got to do is go back and look at the friggin' Julian Davenport years. Just having a solid player over there is a huge upgrade, and it's important. So I'm not defending him paying him this much money. I thought that 19.5-20 was probably going to be the number. Considering their first offer, I think, was 18.5. So I kind of thought they'd come around 19.5-20. It'd be a lot. So this is more. And it's kind of typical of O'Brien that when he does pay somebody, he tends to overpay. And we've seen it with Whitney Mercilus and Bernardrick McKinney and Nick Martin. So, yeah, it's an overpay. But I'm not going to get worked up over it, because if they don't sign the guy, then they've totally screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. I just don't like the idea of paying good players like they're great. And someone on Twitter brings it up that maybe there's something to it, like the Lions. Like if you want guys to stay here, if you want guys to be here, you're gonna have to overpay them, because this isn't a destination that players like want to be at. They realize, Laremy Tunsil he's got Twitter. He realizes that everyone in the world thinks his GM and head coach is a buffoon. So why not take advantage of it? If you're gonna stick around, better make it worth your while.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if it weren't for that buffoon, this would be a nice place to come play. No state income tax, cool place to live, lots of strip bars. It would be a desirable place. But that guy makes it, it's just like, we've heard all the stuff about Belichick. It's not fun. O'Brien doesn't make it fun for these guys. And when people leave, they say that. So maybe that's what you have to do to get guys. And probably going to have to overpay Deshaun to keep him from running off, too. So it all traces back to the little dictator.
Yep.
All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And we didn't get to the draft in that first segment, but I thought a couple thoughts on the coverage. Could they please not ask the first question of every player, what does this mean to you?
Well, what does it mean to you?
It means shut up, lady. Ask a real question. Ask something useful.
And then after all this, what's it really mean? I noticed that too. Man. It's every time. It's annoying.
Yeah, but but I thought for what they were dealing with that and having to deal with Roger Goodell all the time. I mean, I really, he's so annoying. But other than that, I really thought it was they did as well as they could considering.
I thought so too. I thought the coverage was excellent. There was none that we saw anyway. Technology gaffes that everyone was so concerned about. So that's a plus. And it looked like it was going to be an uneventful first round, and then some trades started flying as we got into it. But like the top first 12 picks, everybody stayed put. And I don't think really there was a pick in those first 12. Well, maybe Andrew Thomas, people thought he went a little earlier than he should have. I actually think he's pretty good. I don't think he's better than Jedrick Willis or Wills, but I think he's good. That's just like a – this is my most annoying thing that happens with sports talk radio guys on days like this. When they basically say, well, they look at like a prospect rating list and they're like, well, this guy was rated this by this publication and they went here, so they got great value. Dude, I don't understand I don't understand how that works, because if you haven't watched the guys, if you don't know what you're talking about with the guys, don't talk about them. Because I saw guys on Twitter, like, of course, radio guys, oh, not great value here. ESPN.com has him ranked as the fifth best tackle, and he went as the second tackle. Ooh, that's going to sting. I mean, the ESPN.com, NFL.com, any of these guys, nobody's – what these teams – they don't go by that. They don't have ESPN. This isn't like a fantasy baseball draft where you've got the rankings in front of you. Like these GMs have – oh, ESPN, Yahoo says I should pick him here. No. They've got scouting departments, and they've had meetings with these guys. They know how each guy is going to fit what they want to do. So it's not as simple as, oh, well, here on this paper, on this page, it says he was the 22nd rated prospect, and he went with the 16th pick. Shame on them. It's not that simple. So I don't know what the Giants at this point saw in Andrew Thomas over Jedrick Wills, because – again, this is just from I didn't have any rankings in front of me, but from my eyes, Jedrick Wills was the best tackle in the draft. But there must be something, and I'm not going to question it. And it's the same way with Joe Burrow. You know, I think it was Joe Burrow had a great year. There's questions about how Joe Burrow's game translates, and if you don't think that, you're an LSU fan or you're a Bengals fan. I'm not saying he won't be good.
Football.
Yeah, but I mean, it's more about, like, you can throw me all the stats you want, and are his stats impressive? Yes, incredibly. But there's things about the way there's things about his skill set that aren't necessarily like, oh, it's a sure it's surely going to translate to the NFL perfectly. No. There's questions, but if someone likes Joe Burrow more than they like Tua, cool. I tend to think if they're both healthy, I like Tua better. So I'm not big on bashing drafts on the day of. I have my opinions on who I like better than other guys, just like everybody else does. But I'm definitely not bashing anybody based on where the ranking said they should have gone, because all these teams do their own rankings.
Well, so much of it's, who do you think is going to be the best fit? And I think they want him to start out at right tackle and eventually move to left tackle. And that's, for them, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you go back a year, we talk about Tua would have been a no doubt number one. Andrew Thomas was like a no doubt number one tackle in the draft a year ago.
Just yep.
So happens that these other guys really raise their stock. And, I don't think that was a reach at all. I love the Dolphins getting Tua where they did, not having to make a move. And, my only concern about him, obviously the health is a little bit of an issue, but it's almost sort of the same question I have about Joe Burrow, who was surrounded by enough talent that five of those guys went in the first round. Well, Tua had two top 15 receivers, too. So, you know, but I just watching him, I think he's got all the skills. It's just a matter of being healthy. And I like what the Cardinals did, getting Isaiah Simmons.
I loved that. But I can't believe Carolina didn't take him. I said, oh, my God, they just walked into Luke Kuechly's replacement. Like, what a lucky break for them that this guy is here and is just going to fill right into that role. And then now they take – and by the way, the guy that they did take is a stud, Derek Brown.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was kismet that, you know, the year that Luke Kuechly walks away from the game, you stumble into what I think is going to be a generational linebacker in Isaiah Simmons.
I agree with you on that. I like Brown a lot, but I think Simmons is going to have the better pro career.
Going down the list of some of these picks, I mean, obviously Chase Young was and Jeff Okuda too. It would have been hard to fault anybody for taking those guys. They look like they were probably the two best non-quarterbacks in the draft. Them and Isaiah Simmons. C.J. Henderson, I think, is a great pick for Jacksonville. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, there's a really good corner. Jacksonville's going to have him for 2 years and then trade him for a fourth rounder. That's what they do. You know, Mekhi Becton is clearly a physical freak. The Jets needed some help on the offensive line, so I don't hate that. I thought Tampa getting Tristan Wirfs was big.
I think he's maybe the safest of the tackles.
They're clearly all in right now with their offense.
Yeah,
I thought the Raiders taking Henry Ruggs would like, and I know that Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, most people thought that those were the two best receivers in the draft. Henry Ruggs, though, has when you look at what Patrick Mahomes had with Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill's not the best wide receiver in the league, but he has an explosion factor that you can't coach, and Henry Ruggs has that. You know, I think the Broncos not having to trade up to get Jerry Jeudy was great.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, man, I get that CeeDee Lamb's a nice player, and I think he is. And I think having him and Amari Cooper for the next several years is going to be a problem for teams. But, boy, that team needed help on defense. I was almost certain that's the way they were going to go.
I love that they did that, though, because that's a spot where you make a strength stronger. I think he's going to be – I liked all of those receivers. I'd have been happy with Ruggs, with Jeudy, with Lamb, any one of those three, and the fact that he was still there, and you probably kept him away from Philadelphia. I know they need some help on defense, but they've drafted pretty well in the second round on defense, so I like that pick a lot. I know, you know, that's taking the best player and not taking a need, and I'm always a fan of that.
I like Kenneth Murray to the Chargers. I thought that was a good pick. I thought the Saints getting a center, I mean, makes a lot of sense for them. They're obviously trying to give Breeze everything he can on his side of the ball the last couple of years that they've got him. The Niners trading back.
They already have a center that they just drafted. That's the weird part.
Well, I think that they think he's going to be a guard is what I think it boils down to. Brandon Ayuk, who's a monster after the catch. I mean, what's the big issue that I've been saying with Garoppolo? Can't get the ball down the field. So they draft a wide receiver who can take the ball on an intermediate route and make stuff happen. You know, I love Baltimore getting Patrick Queen.
I do too.
Baltimore taking linebackers in the first round. Go look it up. Look at the history of it and see how often it's failed. It just, they know what they're doing. They know what they're looking for. Jordan Brooks to Seattle was a little bit of a head scratcher because it didn't seem like a need. For them, but you know, it's a front office that I trust. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU to the Chiefs, I think just gives them another dimension, like a side to side dimension that's just terrifying if you're trying to cover that offense. The one that I think that you know warrants the most discussion to me, the first round pick that warrants the most discussion ends up being the Green Bay pick at 26, what was once the Texans pick. Jordan Love, basically Aaron Rodgers-ing Aaron Rodgers. Like Brett Favre, you remember he was all salty about it, and look where we are. And I think I think Aaron Rodgers right now is about the same age Brett Favre was when they drafted Aaron Rodgers. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. I mean, I thought there was good drama last night.
Yeah, especially moving up to get that. And it had helped the Dolphins. They pick up more another pick and just slotted down a little bit and got a pretty good player where they were. So I thought it was a little strange that they did that. But Aaron Rodgers is the one who keeps saying he wants to play until he's 40. Well, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. I mean, he's declining.
Hey, so. Aaron, yeah. How about you show us that you want to keep playing? Yeah. Play better.
And guess what? If he gets healthy and plays well and this guy never sees the field, then you Garoppolo him and trade him somewhere.
All right, we got to hit a break. I got Allstate here, right, Aaron? I'm going to tell you about Allstate, and then on the other side we're going to have David Graham from Carbach tell us about what they're doing with their restaurant, which I reached out to him and asked him to come on because I just thought it's really cool what they've been doing. So I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows, and if you're remodeling, give them a call. Allstate Siding and Windows, if it's time to change out those old aluminum windows for some solid, beautiful windows from Allstate Siding and Windows. How about the siding of today? More durable, wind, weather, and impact. If you've got some raggedy wood on the side of your house that is looking like it's needing to change, it's not just optics. It's energy efficiency. And if you've got old, banged up, beat up siding, your house isn't as energy efficient as it could be. You could be saving on your electric bills. And they've got the spring special on windows right now. No payments for 2 years. That's on windows and siding. $2,500 off all siding. 30% off all windows. So you get those savings now on your energy bills, and you don't have to pay for 2 years. You can't beat this deal. 832-204-1936. For the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. That's 832-204-1936, or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
My dogs is with it. You want it? Come and get it. What? Took it, then we split it. What? Damn right we did it.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And in honor of our next guest, I just opened up a BBH eggnog. A.J., tell them all about it.
Yeah, do we have him, Aaron? All right, let's bring on David Graham from Carbach. What do we call you? The brand manager? What's your position there, DG?
Yeah, marketing manager. So just got my hands in a lot of different things on the marketing side.
I see. You know, we usually talk to Eric about the beer related side of stuff, as you know, and he's been hiding out in the mountains, and then I start to see on Instagram, we know we've talked, I've been doing my live reads about how don't go out to Carbach thinking you're going to go to the restaurant. It's not an option right now, but make sure you buy their beer in the stores. But the restaurant's not, I mean, it's closed, but it's operational. And I saw on Instagram yesterday what you guys have been doing, and I thought, man, I got to get these guys on to see what's what. So tell people a little bit about what's going on with Carbach's restaurant these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I don't know how you managed to get Eric Warner in the studio or on the phone on 420. Well done. You were able to pull him away and get him on the air.
Didn't even consider it.
But yeah, we have finally been able to get our folks back to the restaurant in some capacity and helping out in the community as we do that. So we've been working with Feed the Frontline Houston, which is serving meals to those nurses, doctors, first responders that are out there on the front lines, busting their asses. So able to get them a great meal from Carbach. And it's also a great way for folks, if they're wanting to both support local restaurants and help those people on the front lines, you know, they can go to donate at Feed the Frontline Houston. And then they can provide, you know, shift meals for those folks, but also help their restaurants get back into action. So that's been a great one. We delivered over 400 meals to the hospitals this week, and we've got another 400 coming up next week. And then we've also been working with Houston Shift Meal. So a lot of the service industry that is out of work right now or furloughed, You know, their pantries might be a little bit bare, and so Houston Shift Meal is working with local bars and restaurants to provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for those service workers who might need to get some food in their stomachs. So we're excited to be working for those causes. It's great for our folks to be able to get back into action and feel good about it too.
And Eric's made it sound like, you know, because, you know, obviously you can't go into the tap room right now and have a beer, and you're not selling beer to go out of the brewery. But what you guys have done is you've kept everybody really busy, making sure that the grocery stores and things like that are stocked up with your products.
Yeah, really proud of our people. You know, it's been amazing to be able to keep all of our people engaged. So our bar and restaurant is shut down right now. But those people who are either in the kitchen cooking up food for the shift meal and feed the front lines, or a lot of our retail staff is actually doing volunteer work, while they're still getting paid. So we're really happy that they're able to contribute. And then our sales team, they've been doing a great job making sure they're working with, you know, all the grocery stores and liquor stores that have been getting hit hard and making sure that they keep that beer stocked on the shelves. And then our production crew is still busy. You know, we've got new safe distancing at the brewery. We've got a nurse on site to make sure that people have their temperature taken before they're coming to work. But we are deemed an essential business. You know, people still need a beer to kind of relax and unwind.
Damn
at the
right.
end of the day with what's going on right now. So I'm really proud of all of our folks with how well that they've been able to pitch in during this weird time that we're in.
Well, man, I appreciate you taking some time to hop on with us. I just saw that yesterday, and I was like, man, I got to give these guys some love for the things that they're doing for the community. So I appreciate it, man. And hopefully we'll be back to cracking beers in studio with Eric soon.
Anytime, man. Thank you so much for having me. And just real quick, if people are looking to support service workers out there, they can also get some Love Street to go from bars and restaurants, and that'll go to Southern Smoke Foundation to support their initiatives.
Well, another awesome thing you guys are doing. I appreciate it, DG.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too, man.
Good people, man.
They really are.
Yeah, and I mean it's always fun to have Eric on because he's just a great guy. But they're just doing good stuff over there in DG too. So can't thank them enough. Glad you got him to pop on for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm glad to be partnered with those guys, man. That's it. They do some great things. Times are getting hard, so it's good to see them doing it.
Yeah, it is. I got into it with somebody on email today over the frickin' mask thing, which is still driving me nuts that people are
isn't it crazy that that's such a controversial stance?
Oh, my God. Well, and the mayor came out today and said they're not going to fine you if they see you. They're going to just offer you one, which is pretty cool. But this guy's claiming that, and I gave him specifically a place to go to buy them. He's like, well, I don't have anything at home I can make them with.
You don't have a bandana. You don't have a T-shirt you can pull up over your face like freaking Bazooka Joe.
Yeah, I mean, I told him, hey, there's a gas station over on Jefferson and Hamilton. He's got boxes of them, and they're like $4. And go pick them up there. And it's just, oh, but it's my personal free. Then I finally just said, listen, here's what I'm doing with it. I ordered a bunch of cool ones today, new bandanas and stuff like that. I'm just going to make it a fashion thing. You know, I'm going to wear a different
one. You've always been known as a fashion forward guy.
Well, with hats. Nothing else. So I'm treating it like I do my baseball hats.
Okay.
I'm going to get a cool one and wear a different one every day and try to have some interesting, and I ordered some interesting stuff. Our buddy Craig Shelton's actually selling some really nice ones. So I ordered a couple from him today. He's doing some custom ones that are great. And if you can find him on Twitter, I retweeted it earlier today, so if you just want to go to my Twitter feed. But I ordered a couple from him, and I'm just going to have, just going to have some fun with it. And
well, I got called a racist yesterday because of the mask thing. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. Why are you a racist?
Because the mask law is specifically targeting poor people and minorities. So because I'm for masks and really – the whole thing was me just laughing at people bitching about being asked to wear a mask, and then this guy turned it into something about the law that they passed, which I wasn't even really talking about. I was just talking more about people bitching about being asked to wear a mask. And I told him that law is not – it's no more for poor people than it is for everybody. I mean, everybody's in the same – and again, these masks don't cost – you don't even need a mask. You need a rag around your face, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, well, fining people $1,000, that's poor people, that's really going to help or what. And it's like, dude, this is a public safety issue. And I get it if it were just about your personal freedoms. Like, you wanted to take the risk, cool. The thing, I've talked about this before, those masks, they protect other people from you. They don't protect you from other people. They protect other people from you. So it's I likened it to driving drunk. If you want to go out and drive drunk, like, I can't, it's your personal freedom. If you want to go drive drunk, it's still illegal. But, and you could say, well, if I die in a car accident because I'm driving drunk, that's my right. Right. But now you're risking the lives of everybody out on the roads because you want to drive drunk. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not that big of an ask. Like, that's what I tell. I'm asking everybody, what is the downside? Like, what's the big negative to being asked to wear a mask? And I'm having a hard time. What I've heard back most is personal rights, overreach. Dude, I'll be honest. Like I said, as someone who's a libertarian and who I'm big against the government overreach and things like this, when it comes to personal safety and the safety of the public, it just doesn't bother me. If they said I had to wear a full Darth Vader suit, I might start questioning it. But if they're like, hey, put a bandana around your face, it's not that hard. It's not that friggin' hard.
And bandanas look cool.
Hey, yeah,
guess
you
what?
You look like you're in a motorcycle gang. It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's why, like I said, I'm just going to have fun with it. I'm going to get some. I ordered all kinds of different ones and just going to wear a different one every day. And you know, and as I've said before, anything that covers my face, I'm for. So I'm totally down with this. But, you know, the reality is, yeah, I know some really rich people who are going to refuse to wear them because personal freedom. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I won't be hanging out with you until you're done. But somebody said somebody should make Blitz face masks. That would be awesome to figure out how to do that. So, and also getting asked for having another poker tournament tomorrow. We are. I am going to play because I got Jermaine's going to handle the draft stuff. So I will play after all. But, you know, in Norman Chad's playing again. And he tweeted it out to his whole poker world today. So there might be some big names showing up tomorrow.
And Eugene, I will get to it on the other side. I know we've only got one segment left, but the O'Brien Tunsil thing, Eugene reminded me of an old analogy that works.
Okay. And real quickly, I'm not going to be doing the video thing on Sunday. I'm going to put it off a week because, for one thing, I've decided Sunday I'm turning off the phone and everything and just taking a break from everybody. And also, people wanted a week to read the new book, which you can email me and get at fower975@gmail.com. All right, only one segment left. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Our buddy Sam at Big City Wings has some...
Uh-oh, did we lose Freddie? All right, well, I guess we did lose Fred. So one of the analogies that I've used in the past, and this is another good example of it, is Bill O'Brien sitting down at the negotiating table with Laramie Tunsil and thinking, okay, we're going to pay this dude. I guess we're going to have to make him a top-paid tackle. And you sit down, and it's like going on a date, taking a date to a fancy steakhouse, and then you open the menu and you realize it's out of your price range. And instead of saying, you know what, we got to go somewhere else, which, I mean, is very difficult to do. Certainly, it's a tough move to make. You look through it and you look at your date and you say, you know, I'm not feeling a steak tonight. I think I'm going to have a salad. And then you pay $45 for a salad with a piece of chicken on top of it instead of just getting up and going to a steakhouse that is in your range. That's what I feel like this whole thing with Laramie Tunsil is. He sat down at the table, opened the menu, and said, oh, my God, this is expensive. But he would have had too much egg on his face to tell his date, which is all of us, we got to go somewhere different. We got to go to a different restaurant because I can't afford to eat here.
Better be a hell of a salad.
Yeah, oh, it better be.
So apparently I cut out there. It was really weird because I could hear you guys fine. But I was mentioning our buddy Sam at Big City Wings has got some nice black masks for you and me that he's going to get us.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah. So Big City Wings mask. So shout out to Sam. So a lot of good players left. I think the Texans, I mean, if they do it right, which what are the odds of that, of course, could come out of this with a nice piece. I mean, there's several edge rushers left. There's several cornerbacks left. If they don't do something stupid like take a tight end, which I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I don't trust them. But, man, I was looking at the players left, and there's five or six guys that easily could have gone in the first round.
Yeah, I wonder which way they're going to end up looking. The one guy, I'll tell you what, there's two guys actually who I was surprised didn't go day one. And it's Trevon Diggs, which was that one kind of a slight surprise. But the big surprise to me was that his teammate Xavier McKinney didn't go, which no safeties go. Yeah. In the first round, which was a big surprise. I think that if I were looking at it, he's probably my favorite player left on the board. As far as for the Texans' needs, I don't know that the Texans could use their first pick on a safety. I don't think that'd make a whole lot of sense. I think, would we say they're down to defensive line and cornerback are basically, that's pretty much all you can see him using this pick on, right?
Yeah, unless they're, you know, somehow thinking they're going to trade Will Fuller for something, then maybe receivers back in there. But I think if Christian Fulton's still there, that's a guy I love at corner. And I think maybe a wild card here, if Josh Jones were to slip to there, I know you just invested in tackles, but you don't have a third one. That'd be a pretty good one. And if you could kick him inside the guard,
I think that'd just be I think it'd be hard to do with the first pick of your draft is what it boils down to. I just think they'd have a hard time selling that.
The other guy that I really, really like, and I know Braddock is real high on A.J. Epinesa from Iowa. I really like the kid from Wisconsin, Zach Bond.
Mm-hmm.
If they took him, I would not be unhappy.
But then again, do you look at linebacker as a need position for the Texans?
I look at outside edge rusher as a need position, and that's what he is.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I consider him that. I mean, to me, he's a versatile linebacker. I think he can play inside or outside linebacker. I don't know if he's like a full-blown pass rush guy. I think he's versatile, which I like. And he's good at getting off blocks. I just don't know if you're looking for a full-blown pass rusher, I don't think that's the way I would go.
I'm going to have to find his numbers for you because you'll be shocked at his sack numbers.
Okay.
I'll have to find them because it's not on the story that I have up, but when I was reading up on the guys who were left, and it's like, man, you know, I went back and watched some of him, and it's like, boy, that would – you put him opposite Merciless, I'd like it. So
when do the Texans have – I mean, how many teams ahead of them now? Seven?
Yeah, they have the eighth pick.
Okay.
So one of those guys we mentioned will be available.
Yes, almost certainly. I mean, if Diggs is available at 40, to me that's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because you can't feel like And I get that Lonnie Johnson has shown some flashes, and I see that. I see that they don't – he doesn't look like he's a total waste. But he hasn't shown me enough to think that he's like – he's the guy. You know, he's the guy that you can count on going forward. I don't know if I believe that. So I think cornerback is still a position of need for this team.
Oh, absolutely. A big like I said, if Christian Fulton's sitting there, too, that's another guy. Last year, sack numbers for Braun, 12.5 sacks, 19.5 tackles for loss.
Wow. Oh, that's better than I would have thought. Yeah, I didn't think of him as that.
So, and he's, you know, one of those high motor guys. And
oh, yeah, he's a try hard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe that's something the Texans would probably love.
Well, it depends on how he practices. But I guarantee you we've just given, what, 10 interesting names? What are the odds that whoever they draft is not anyone we mentioned?
That's likely. They'll probably take that tight end from Notre Dame or something stupid. Or you know, one of these, some tiny wide receiver who's going to get hurt. It seems like it's kind of their MO.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it if they took one of these, because there's still some really good running backs left, too. And
Dude, don't talk to me about running backs. They've got so much invested in that position right now, it's disgusting. I could see it maybe tomorrow. No way you can do that today.
Yeah, I look at some of the guys that are left, I'm like, damn, Jonathan Taylor and...
Only one running back went in the first round. I mean, but that's...
Yeah.
Again, that goes to sort of the devaluation of running backs over the years, unless you're a slam dunk Ezekiel Elliott type. That, to me, that's the smart play.
Boy, Edwards-Helaire is going to go so... I mean, he's going to have such a great career going to
I think
Kansas
so, too.
City.
I think
I mean,
so,
he's
too.
He's a good player to begin with, but you know, he's in a perfect situation, and they'll know how to use him. Man, that's just another weapon. The Chiefs are just doing things so smart. I mean, my goodness. And I know they needed help on defense, but you know, if you make your offense unstoppable, defense isn't as important. So,
all right. Well, we're about to find out, Freddie.
Indeed. So it's right here on our station. So stay tuned. And great job by AJ Hoffman today. Great job by Aaron Raybould. I did a really good job because I didn't have a full game to screw up. It's like pitching for 3 innings, you know, instead of 9. I did all right. And join our poker tournament tomorrow. Make sure you do that. And have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back on Monday to break it all down. And make sure you keep checking Sports Map. We'll have updates throughout. There's a Cowboys story on there today. There's a Tunsil story. And Jermaine will have Texans for you as soon as it happens. All right. Have a great weekend. Until Monday, stay sportsy, bitches.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.